There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it on The Agenda with Tom Urquhart, only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Keep your feedback coming in, whether it be on decluttering, which was one of the subjects we ran a little earlier on, or of course the new subject we've just introduced to you, which is feedback. Now, I will put my hands up. This comes from something of a personal observation, because certainly my summer was... Well, it was full of feedback. I was fast asked for feedback pretty much everywhere I went. So got me thinking, got me reading. And smart people love talking about how to give feedback, but not many talk about how to receive it. No matter how profoundly we might embrace concepts like radical transparency, hearing your presentation miss the mark or worse is never a comfortable moment. Animals, as humans, are wired for self-defense. Our knee-jerk reaction is to reject hard feedback. And then we might go through something resembling the five stages of grief. Anger spirals into denial, and then perhaps some bargaining, and followed by a bit of wallowing in actual non-depression if the feedback isn't positive. These are just a few of the thoughts that have been doing the rounds with regards to feedback. But when was the last time you were asked for feedback? And are you a feedback giver, or do you just not see the point? Hanan's in studio with us having a little think about this one.
Yes, well, basically, I often get asked for feedback, usually after a restaurant meal. You know what? I'll give feedback if I've had good service and the person asked me for it. But also, if I've had really bad service or, you know, I haven't enjoyed the food, then I think it's worth giving the feedback. So, yeah, it's usually that. But it's all the online ones that sort of get on my nerves if you get them too frequently. But sometimes I'll receive them. I think, you know what? It's worth it for me to complain because I've had a bad service or to give or to note something outstanding.
A recent study that is from the Centre for Hospitality Research at Cornell University recently found that hotels with better customer reviews on travel rating sites like Travelocity, TripAdvisor could charge slightly higher rates. They want to hear your opinion of your stay because the data they collect affects both how they treat their guests overall and how they interact with individual travellers. That's hotels, but as we know, we are asked for feedback forms just about everywhere we go. So what's the state of play when it comes to restaurants, to hospitality as a whole? We've invited into studio to give us her expert thoughts. The managing director of JRG Dubai, Emma Banks, is with us here. Emma, thanks so much indeed for taking time to join us.
Thank you very much.
Just how reliant are you as a company, as an organisation, on feedback that is generated not just by word of mouth of people coming into the restaurants, people coming in, into your facilities, but from those forms that are filled in and sent back?
In the restaurant business, feedback is absolutely critical. We see feedback as a listening tool for effective change. The old adage that feedback is a gift is actually really true in the restaurant business. Everybody likes to dine out, and we know that we can't please everybody all the time. So when it comes to receiving feedback in the restaurant industry, we're quite thick-skinned, and you know, all that mode of being angry, defensive, there's just no point, because you know, we have to understand that every guest has an opinion and we don't always get it right. So we do genuinely see feedback as a gift. We use it a lot, whether it's we actually pay to have what we call the mystery shopper or mystery diner, and we actually don't know who those people are, and we get extensive reports. We in the Noodle House for over nearly 10 years now, we actually use a digital feedback.
That's right, yeah.
And actually now, because of technology, all that feedback is actually aggregated into one dashboard. So I can look at maybe over a month, at least over 1,000 pieces of feedback, and it's actually put onto a dashboard so we can use and we can see trends, and actually we can drive effective change, because we get good feedback and we get poor feedback. So it's very important. But now in this digital age, feedback is received in so many ways, you know, not only verbally, but, you know, on TripAdvisor, on Google, on Facebook, on Instagram. So we have our marketing team scanning for negative and positive feedback all the time. And I think what customers really, really appreciate is actually if their feedback is recognized and responded to.
Yeah.
And often the old, you know, we talk about turning a complaining guest into a positive ambassador for you. Sometimes when you get negative feedback, how you respond, how you deal with it, how you follow up with a customer, you can actually convert an angry customer into a positive ambassador for you. And in that respect, for example, in Pai Thai and Pier Chic, for example, which is probably our more premium end of our business, the general managers, one of their KPIs, which is one of their key business objectives, is to personally read every online review and review left in the restaurant and respond personally. And I actually have a scanning report where I go through and I see all the TripAdvisor, and it actually flags to me if a review hasn't been responded to. Because to be honest, it's just rude if a guest takes the time to respond and actually write on TripAdvisor positively or negatively if you don't respond. And I think you talk about, you know, you made that reference to that stat where hotels can actually charge more. I think if you're a guest and you're visiting Dubai, which we have a lot of visitors, and you see, you know, you're considering going somewhere like Pier Chic or Pai Thai, and it's a considerable, you know, it's a considered visit, and you see that the general manager is personally either thanking them for great feedback or actually apologising or saying, we will deal with this. And often we will ask guests to actually give us their details offline, and we'll take their complaint offline and deal with them in a more personal basis. So we've been using feedback for a very long time in a variety of ways, and it is absolutely integral and important in the restaurant business.
Are there sort of pitfalls that you need to be aware of? You talked there about your marketing team, because we're living in that age now when everyone's got an opinion and everyone can slate their opinion. You need to be fairly thick-skinned in whatever business you are at the moment. But, I mean, just taking the restaurant business from a point of view where feedback has always been crucial to the success of any restaurant business, but it used to be sort of a point of reference. If you weren't happy with your meal, you'd call a waiter over and ask to speak to the restaurant manager or ask to speak to the chef, and then you'd address that problem. Now is with the sort of the birth of rating sites and travel rating programs and platforms, is there that platform that people will sort of have their say, then go away, sleep on it, and then make a complaint or something like that? Is that something that needs to be addressed?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're in that age now where people are almost getting more comfortable giving, you know, using their smartphone or their tablet and communicating digitally. And that's just in all areas of life, not just giving feedback. You know, you look at social media platforms and people live their lives almost on there. It is in the restaurant business, we have what we call a check back, and most businesses will try and have that one-to-one communication with the guests so that you can fix the problem there and ensure that they enjoy their experience with you. So we task our teams with, and at different stages, of going back to the guests and doing what we call a check back. And obviously it's got to be sensitive, because you don't want to be every mouthful somebody bothering you. So it's at key stages of the meal, usually fairly early on and later on into the meal, just to check that it's going well at the beginning and that everything has continued to go well. So we use a check back to try and get that one-to-one communication there and then and fix it and be able to fix it before the guest leaves, because that's much better than them, you know, going online and airing grievances. We're in that age where sometimes people, you will do the check back, and, you know, we're British and we'll go, is everything all right? And we'll go, oh yes, it's fine. And then we'll go and tell 10 people how unhappy we are. And there's just nothing, nothing we can do about that. But, you know, by actually having the wait staff go over, and this is where we try ensure that we employ engaging wait staff so that they feel comfortable approaching the guests. And the other thing is, when a guest actually, and thank goodness they do physically tell you there and then they're not happy, the most important thing is that the waiter doesn't stand there sort of agog and look a bit shocked and doesn't know what to do, that they immediately feel confident and deal with the situation. And if they can't, they get a more senior member of the front office team to deal with it there and then.
But I think you've hit the nail on the head there for me, which is this whole sort of culture, this concept that we've developed at the moment. You know, if there is a fly in your soup, used to be that you said, waiter, there's a fly in my soup. Now we go away and we have outrage on social media and say there was a fly in my soup and they charged me 55 dirhams for it. But surely for you, from a restaurant purveyor's point of view, it's so much more useful to go, oh yeah, there is a fly in your soup, sir. We do apologise. These mistakes are made now and again. Let us make it better for you there and then, as opposed to trying to deal with the outfall afterwards.
Yes, it's much better to be able, you know, it's like anything, any, you know, in any walk of life, if you're dealing with guests and customer service or a service, you want to be able to fix the problem there and then, and actually, you know, fix it for the guests before they tell a whole load of other people. Just in terms of the adage of a fly in the soup, nowadays, if there was a fly in somebody's soup, a whole world of corrective action would be put in place and health and safety, let me just say, not just, you know, kind of taking the soup off the bill and giving them another bowl. But yeah, it, to answer your question in short, it is much better to be able to deal with it there and then.
But what happens if you can't catch it there and then? Like if someone's being very British, yeah, the fly. No, you know, the complaint, and someone's being British and they're not quite honest. And then after they do complain on social media or something, how can you turn that experience into a positive and for example, bring them back to the restaurant and convince them that it's going to be worth it?
Yeah. Well, it obviously depends on the nature of the complaint and what's actually happened. But what we do is first of all, if it's just a very bland, you know, almost anonymous, you know, nothing's anonymous, but if they just make a comment on social media, we will, you know, refer to it, thank them for their feedback and actually say, you know, we take your comments on board. And we do actually, you know, we do look for trends. And as I say, we aggregate our data and we do trend analysis. If it's somebody who's really, really unhappy and being quite vicious and vocal on a social media platform, we will contact them, thank them, and try and take the heat out of the situation by taking it offline. And really, we will go out of our way to try and fix it with them offline. If a guest feels that badly and is prepared to then give you their details and speak to you and communicate offline, and then depending on whatever the problem is, we'll try and fix it. We don't win everybody all the time. If it gets to the point where somebody is being so vocal and vicious and really unhappy and we're not going to be able to fix it online, sometimes we actually just politely and quietly, you know, apologise and try and shut it down because we've done whatever we can. But as I say, most of our, certainly when on things like TripAdvisor and reviews where guests go to real detail and write various paragraphs and comment on a variety of things, you know, the general manager. But we do use feedback as a gift, and we use it, you know, if it's poor feedback or we see trends, we use it for coaching, for team training. But you know, let's look at feedback positively. We often get what we call bouquets or celebratory feedback. And that's fantastic because we'll use that in team briefings. Sometimes we reward colleagues based on getting really good feedback. I mean, we once had a colleague who literally, her name was splattered over TripAdvisor. People used to just remember, and the TripAdvisor reviews for this particular restaurant always referred to her. And we really, really celebrated and recognised that she was making such an impact with guests that they would constantly, her name was all over our TripAdvisor reviews. So it can be a positive as well.
It's time to have your say. The Agenda with Tom Urquhart on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Thanks for your text messages. Keep them coming in. 4001. We're in conversation with Emma Banks. Emma is the MD of JRG Dubai, and we're talking feedback this morning. Thanks very much indeed to Herm, who's been in touch. Herm says, as a vociferous online purchaser, I always have a list of demands if they want my time or feedback. Firstly, am I entered into a prize I have a chance of winning? And secondly, if I am and they want more details, then my email address, which they have already and promised not to send my postcode on to any third party. If not, I won't be doing it. Thank you very much indeed for that one. This one from Andy, who got in touch saying, glad I'm not the only one to have this concern. I bought a small item from your website. No, I would not like to leave a review. You have my money. You have my email address. Now go away. Thank you very much indeed for that one, Andy, which sort of leads us on to a question that's come through from a couple of people who've been sending us their thoughts, Emma, with regards to the most efficient way to gather feedback. Obviously, you are a leader in the restaurant industry as the head of JRG Dubai here. So let's look at the ways that you can get that. That's either a waiting staff or restaurant manager coming to the table and asking for a a verbal recommendation. I often go to restaurants where you will be asked for a sort of a quick tick box review at the end of the meal. How was your meal? Give us your thoughts on the meal, but also the waiting staff. And then other places you'll go and you'll get an email from the organisation or from the venue that evening or the following day or a couple of days later saying, hope you enjoyed your experience. Would you mind taking a few moments out of your day to give us your thoughts? Is there a better way to get and seek the feedback?
I think anything that's digital or online is actually going to be more effective because it avoids any mistakes or errors, you know, from a handwritten one or data going missing or somebody's review. A disgruntled member of waitstaff sees that they haven't got a very good review on their comment card and it accidentally goes out with the leftovers of the dinner. So anything online is more transparent and you actually get the words directly from the guest. It's easier for us, as I said, we do use feedback as a listening tool to affect change and improve our goods and services. So from digital, you can actually collate it, identify it more effectively. So I'd say anything online, it's also faster and you can share it easier. A lot of organisations are using, you know, SurveyMonkey and tools like that because it actually can pull the data and make sense of it, because you may have 1,000 reviews and you don't want to spend, although every piece of feedback is important, but you know, you want to focus on the 999 that are all saying the same thing rather than maybe the one left field one. So I think anything that you can aggregate, pull, look at trends. As I say, you know, in Noodle House, for example, we've used this tablet survey for a long, long time. And obviously the survey's changed as trends have changed, customer requirements have changed, but it pulls all the data because we actually get thousands and thousands of pieces of feedback a year, and it pulls it into dashboards and trends and charts and stuff, and it pulls out keywords and it makes it really easy to read the data. So my answer would be the most efficient is anything online, but I totally appreciate what those customers are saying. You know, sometimes you know, customers can get a bit tired and fatigued by giving feedback, and that's totally understandable, and we respect that. But in the restaurant business, because everybody eats and everybody enjoys dining out, we're actually an industry that people are very keen most of the time to give you feedback, either during their visit or post their visit.
Yeah.
People feel very strongly and either positively or negatively about their experience, and we don't have problems getting feedback from guests.
I suppose one other thing I just wanted to get your thoughts on is that, you know, we've been trying to trace this. We're certainly living in an age now where there is more feedback. We are more dependent on feedback at the moment for not just the restaurant, but all industries at the moment. And that's something I noticed, as I mentioned in the intro, over the summer, whether it be changing money at a cash transfer desk, going to the post office in the UK, hiring a car, going to your airlines, using your Skywards miles, or there are other frequent flyer programs available as well. You always ask for feedback, and I very rarely get replies. You know, you give your feedback, whether it be good or negative, and it's not that often. And I suppose that's what sets certain companies apart, is it? Rather than just having this as something that you need to in order to keep up with the Joneses and keep up with what else is going on, you need to be able to act on that and to action that, because without that action, the feedback's going nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that's what I say. It's so nice that the guests, you know, for example, we talked about TripAdvisor earlier. I think it must be nice for the guests and for other future guests to see that the general manager's taken the time to read and review the feedback. I mean, I've got a very, very clever system that flags any reviews that haven't been responded to. But as I'm going through that, I'll often read TripAdvisor reviews and we'll look for trends in restaurants. So, you know, we do respond to our guests' feedback. sometimes, you know, if we believe, you know, we serve thousands and thousands and thousands of customers a year, and we don't always get it right. I mean, this is the restaurant business is all about human interaction, and, you know, all the food and the drinks are all made by humans. So it's you know, it doesn't always go 100% right. And if we actually do get it badly wrong, we, you know, we'll often bring the guests back and we'll try and make good for them. And sometimes if we've dissatisfied them so much and they're like, wild horses wouldn't drag me back in your restaurant, Emma, you know, we'll then say, right, well, let's do it. Let's fix it and invite them somewhere else. You know, I mean, there is this like slight cynicism that sometimes guests are complaining because they're looking for a freebie, you know, yeah. And we really, really try and avoid that, because we believe that, you know, if somebody's taken the time and, you know, to give you feedback, you've got to take the time to respond and deal with it. And if somebody's really, really upset, at the end of the day, if we can fix it by, you know, inviting them back and giving them some good hospitality and making them feel good and writing it, to be honest, that's much more important for us.
I feel for you, because it must be a balancing act, as I'm sure it is for so many as well, but just sort of sticking in your realm of excellence in restaurants as well. I mean, the gone are the days, I suppose. We've grown up, haven't we, in this whole sort of audit culture, this idea of participation. We're encouraging that participation as much as possible. And that's got to a point now that everyone's feedback is crucial to moving the business forward. And yet, there is an element that, you know, I come to Noodle House because I want a good bowl of Singapore noodles. And I know, and I respect Noodle House being able to do that because they know how to do it better than anyone else.
Thank you.
But isn't that the point? Is that this is our business. We know what Singapore noodles should taste like. So if you fill in a feedback form and say, oh, well, those Singapore noodles weren't very good. Well, no, they are. They are great Singapore noodles. And isn't that the balancing act as well?
It is. But then, you know, obviously Noodle House, we aim for consistency, and, you know, our Singapore noodles are made to, you know, a classic recipe that the chefs are trained, and they're not allowed to kind of, a chef can't come into work and decide to make the Singapore noodles the way mummy makes them, you know, so we know that it is consistent. But if I get in a week in the same restaurant, for example, you know, 10 or 20 guests saying that the Singapore noodles aren't right, you know, my brand chef will be in there. And I'm sure one guest, but a few guests, we'll, you know, because we have to ensure consistency of standard and product. So, you know, we may go in and find that there's a training issue, or, you know, I don't know, because all our recipes are online, but, you know, something's happened or something's gone wrong, or maybe a supplier issue. So, you know,
So you look for the numbers, you look for the metrics.
This is why I said trends, and especially Noodle House is a brand where we do get thousands and thousands of pieces of feedback, which is all aggregated onto an electronic dashboard. This is why it's important to get feedback, because you can see trends and identify, you know, where you need to focus or where you need to improve or where you're doing really well, and celebrate that and say, come on, let's encourage this behavior, or let's develop these products further. You know, for example, in Noodle House a few weeks ago, we did we're doing a, you know, Feed Your Asian Soul campaign for the summer, and we did the Filipino one, and the feedback on that was off the scale, to the point it was so positive that we're actually going to potentially put some of those dishes on our core menu. So, you know, customer feedback is really important for all businesses.
So it's that whole thing, isn't it? You're not going to please all the people all the time, but
especially in restaurants.
It's exactly that, yeah. Stick to your gun, stick to you know what's good. Listen, you've been really kind to come in and talk to us about feedback. I just want to get one more little bit of feedback from you, because it'd be rude and out of place for me not to ask you about one of the campaigns we've talked a lot about here on the show that you've helped to push here, which is the lack of reliance on single-use plastics here in the region. It's something that you feel very passionate about as a group, as an individual as well. You've put into place a number of actions within your restaurants. Going well?
It's going really well, and hopefully towards the third week of September, we'll have another big piece of news around how we've eradicated more single-use plastic from our business over and above what we started in March. Nikki, who's our head of marketing, she'll be in touch to tell you all about it, because it's actually quite significant, and it's a further eradication of single-use plastic in JRG. So we'll be sharing that shortly. So thank you for asking. We're continuing to work on it. As I said back in March, it's a journey. We're not going to do it overnight, but we'll continue with it.
No pressure, Nikki. You know where we are. Come and tell us when it's going to happen. All right, sign that one off. Come on down and say hi. And thanks very much indeed to Emma Banks, Managing Director of JRG Dubai. Emma, thank you.
Thank you so much.
We have got, 7 minutes left on the show, then it's off to the news. Thanks so much indeed to all of you for your feedback on today's story, including today's story about feedback as well. Thanks very much indeed to Diz, who got in touch, saying, ironic, just today I spent some time on the phone explaining to my big insurance company the numerous ways in their letter about a recent dent in my wife's car managed to both offend us and miss our out essential information. Ultimately got through to a reasonable person who agreed with me their wording was useless and they could have been a bit more proactive on the case in the first place. An hour later I got an email asking me to evaluate my recent contact with their firm. The world has gone mad. There's no way back.
And Juno says, no one ever listens to feedback forms. Nothing changes, so I don't see the point in wasting my time filling them in. Jimmy says, feedback is really important as it can help identify upcoming trends in the market and the possibility of future development. So it really helps companies.
This one from Clark. I wouldn't mind if I felt that the survey was actually going to do something and have an effect, but you always have that lurking suspicion that it's there to placate the customer and let them vent without it actually ever reaching a real human being's inbox. And one from Trevor as well, saying, I don't know about other companies out there, but our feedback scores are given to us. Bad scores are discussed and a reason has to be forthcoming. Thanks for that one, Trev.
And Ranjit says, in the aviation world, feedback forms are used to make sure a standard is maintained. This is anything from presentations within the workplace to compulsory client feedback. And Dima says, sometimes people are so used to filling out forms, they pay them lip service and therefore the forms lose any real value because they neither tell the truth nor put any effort into the answers.
Kate's been in touch saying, 100% agree with you guys. I've started refusing to fill feedback forms out. And when you're in a shop and someone comes up and pesters me, insisting that they help me when I actually don't want help. If you ask them to do something, they then present a little card and ask me to send a testimonial that they helped me. The other thing to do is answer the survey, but say very dissatisfied to every single question. Just mess up their precious metrics, Kate. It's a little bit harsh. Tom's also been in touch. It's becoming more and more prevalent. If the shop my son worked in, the gym I work in, the last two meetings I had at the bank are anything to go by. Employees put at the mercy of the anything less than an 8 inevitably tell you about it, which renders the whole silly idea absolutely worthless. I usually ignore feedback requests unless the person I dealt with came across as particularly pleasant or willing to make an effort, in which case I give them an absurdly high score to be safe.
And Tina says, I love filling in forms. If it helps companies improve my experience, surely this is a good thing. And Mo says, giving feedback on what people really want is important, not only in restaurants, but for technology and cars. If you don't give feedback, how will companies know what you want?
A little earlier on, we talked about hoarding and the fact that it has now become a medical disorder. According to the World Health Organization, Dr. Girish Banwari from LifeWorks says, not everyone who accumulates things is a hoarder.
All of us do collect and stock up things, or we do not discard things feeling that they may have some utility in future. So that's normal up to an extent, right? But when it leads to clutter, when it leads to impairment, when it becomes the purpose of your life that you are just concerned about collecting things, when it becomes a risk to your safety and people around you, so then, of course, it's pathological and it's classified as a disorder.
Naved was listening in. He reckons that his wife might have a problem.
She's got 8 wardrobes just for herself, plus a walking cabinet, plus, and again, another 2-door wardrobe just dedicated to herself. Now, every time there is a function, it's all stacked up the clothes, but every time there's a function or any party that I need to attend, I get this that I don't have any clothes to wear, and she goes buying something new. I mean, practically, there's no place for myself. So she always does plan to declutter, but never ends up doing anything. Last time she did it was about a week ago, and she got me a small plastic bag of items. She said, you can let these go. And I said, doesn't make any difference.
And finally, and thankfully, Shalina from Declutter Me was on hand to proffer a little advice.
I deal with a lot of people with massive wardrobes, so that's not the problem. I think more it's when couples or families are working with each other, there's also the personal issue. So when you have an outsider come in and help, it does help the situation and to help declutter, because if somebody outside who doesn't have an emotional connection to you. So as Navidi said, that, you know, you've pointed out that some clothes are new and never been worn, that makes her feel most probably more stressed, and there's angst, and you guys most probably argue about it, and you have to do it bit by bit. So if she's gone through a few things and decluttered and taken the bags out, be positive about it. At least she started in one section, and then move on. Let her move on to the next section.
That's it from Hanan and myself. We'll be back tomorrow from 10 o'clock in the morning. Make sure you tune in then.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.